Good morning. My name is KC, and today I'm taking the word because our pastor in Miok is in KL ministering at the church there. So as you know, we all are following a series, right? The ability to create wealth. I think it's so amazing, you know. God is such an amazing God. Really, His plan is one to bless us. But the problem with us human beings, we complicate matters. You know, and I think it's great that we all get reminded through this series. This is a four-part series that talks about from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 that describes the plans of God, the desires of God, and of course the blessings of God. So we've been looking at if we want God to be able to help us to create wealth, and wealth is not just money. Wealth is the completeness of our lives, you know, right? That means being wealthy means to not be in lack. I know that. I come from a very humble beginnings when I was young. My major goal in life is to get rich. I'm not kidding you. Right? I want to be a millionaire by 30. By at the age of 30, I have no million. So I changed my goal. I want to spend a million by 30. Right? So we're all chasing after that. But I tell you, since meeting the Lord, I am rich. I am totally rich. Not that I have a lot of properties and cars and so on, but I have no lack in my life. And I look back and say, wow, I am truly rich, you know. And I think that's what God wants for us. Because money is one element of our lives. But what about peace of mind? What about relationships? What about our health? You know, what about meaning in life? What is the use of having tons of money but you got no meaning in life? You're just lonely. Every day counting money at home. You know, if you count money, you got no meaning. You might as well have no money. Because you can just pretend to count. It's the same thing, right? 1 million, 2 million and so on, but you don't do anything with it. You just count. Even though you got no money, that's like, I'm so happy because every night I'm counting billions, by, right? Anyway, so the series tells us that for us to be able to have the ability to build wealth, first of all, we need to obey. Because God's blessing comes with a provision, a condition that you got to obey, right? Secondly, then, we must remember this is the problem with human beings. We're so quick to forget. God blesses us. God brings us through all these wonderful things and we forget, right? And that's where we get in trouble. And today we want to look into, you know, how we should trust God more, right? When times are not going so well, when things are not going so right with us, right? The key thing is, can we trust God, right? And how do we go about doing that? All right, our portion today is we're going to look at the same chapter, chapter 8, verse 5 to 10, and also 7, 8, and 19. So this is a command for us to trust God. Why don't we commit this word into the Lord's hand and pray for the blessing of His word this morning. Father, I want to commit the message this morning, Lord. I pray that You will send Your Holy Spirit and bring the words to life and cut the hearts of each and every one of us, including myself, Lord, so that we open our eyes, we have a deeper understanding of knowing who You are, and through that process, we can make the choices to trust You even more with our life, with our decisions, with our future, and even the circumstances around us. Lord, I just pray for Your anointing of Your word, and I pray for the hearts and the ears and the minds of Your listeners to be open and to receive the word of truth from You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our verse is actually anchored around this verse over here, Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to His ancestors as it is today. So the question is, do you trust this? Do you believe this? Now, trust is a very important element of our lives. It is the most basic element of relationships. Without trust, there's no relationship. In fact, we all have all this sort of, we all work with trust in our entire lives. You order Grab food, you have to trust that they prepare the food according to what you order, right? You have to trust that the rider did not eat halfway, right? You have to trust that the food is being prepared clean. So we all need to have trust in our lives or else we can't survive, right? We have to trust someone. We have to trust some process and so on. But the question is, what about our relationship with God? It's a challenge because sometimes we don't see God, and yet actually God is visible in so many areas. It's just sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't take note. This is why I said that a problem with us, right? Our way we think, the way we choose, and so on. This becomes an issue for us, which is why today we want to look into how can we then really focus our trust on God. But the interesting thing that I went and searched around the concept of trust, because it's so real in our lives, that this is a study to show in terms of the populations of the people in the world who are the ones who are trust company. Very interesting. China is a huge, big amount of people who trust companies and so on, followed by India and, of course, as you can see there. Now, this is one element of people trusting companies and organizations. There are also studies on, you know, different countries trusting government. I don't want to put up here because I guess we know what just happened in Malaysia. But this one is amongst the people and how they trust each other and so on. Apparently, the Dutch and the Scandinavian, right, are very highly trusting people and so on. I was in Vietnam. I go to Vietnam quite a bit. And even amongst the Asian culture, I noticed that Vietnamese are very trustworthy people, very honest, you know. I lived there for a while. You can leave money around and, you know, it won't go missing. But I've lived in other countries, I don't want to say, you know, where we are told that be careful, right, with money. So it's very interesting. Now, if you look at the meaning of trust, so when we say we trust in God, there's two elements we must think about, right? It is all about competence. That means the ability. So in the same way, if you want to be trustworthy at home, at work, you have to consider this too, right? The first thing is that your ability. Let's say you are in a finance industry, right? Do you have the ability to manage finances? If you don't have, people don't trust you, right? Even though you're a nice guy or a nice girl. So the first thing about trust is that, what's the ability? So the question we ask ourselves is that, can we trust God? Do you think God has the ability to keep his promises? Do you think, not only keep his promises, there's a character, but do you think that God is able to deliver his promises? Do you think God has the power? That determines how we trust God. When we question God, that means we lack trust in his ability. So the first thing is about competence, ability. The other thing is character. Character is, do we believe that he will keep his word? So same thing at work. If you say that you want to be a trustworthy person, do people believe your intention? So the character is like, what intention have you got? Are you there to help me, or are you there have a hidden agenda? That's why we don't like people who are so smooth on the outside, but they have a hidden agenda. We don't trust them. That's a character issue. So now, whenever we say we trust someone, that means we have confidence in the person's ability or competence, and we have confidence in the character, what they say. So it's what they say and what they do. So in the same way, I tell you, the principles of Bible is so useful for all of us in our lives. That means if you want to be successful in your career, think about this. Can people have confidence in your ability to do work? That's why one of the things that we want to say is that when you are at work, don't complain so much. Even when your boss asks you to do something extra, if you embrace it, then you will build your competence, your ability. Secondly, what is your intention? Do you keep your word? Do you keep your promises? Do you walk the talk? That's the character part. So that means, what's the sign that I don't trust someone or we don't trust God? When there's doubt. So what happens when there's doubt? We ask question. Oh, sure, you come to my party, yeah? How will you come? Huh? That means I don't believe what you say. It's that I'll be there. But you start to question, are you sure? How are we going to get here? But you're always busy and so on. That means there's a lack of trust. So no wonder the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, we can see the signs of lack of trust because they're always questioning God. So that's why we anchor in and ask ourselves that as you're going through your journey with God, are you questioning? Are you always doubting? Wondering, really, God? I prayed for this. How come I'm not getting that? How come I'm not getting this again? So that's what we're going to be looking at. And it's really interesting because if you look at all of the living creatures in the world, human beings are the one that has the most, you know, the most reliance on trust, or is a natural part of our nature of human being. And there's a lot of studies. And by the way, all these are from non-spiritual, non-biblical, it's a secular study, right? That means they don't believe in God. And yet they see that the element of trust. So this is a study by Harvard Business School. And it says, can you see that amongst all the study, I don't think all these are written in the Christian aspect. But they study this and they understand that human is designed like that. To trust is human. This is a natural, and if you look at it, it's that the moment a baby is born, within how many minutes, right? Within an hour, the baby is looking at to build connection with the mom. You know, and they have all of this. That's how a baby can learn so much even without language, because you can mimic the face, expression, and so on. That's a connection. So this is a fact of life, that if we don't have trust, we're not human. And that's how amazing God is, to tell us that we must have that relationship with God. We must learn to trust God. Then we can have that journey of ability to build wealth. But here's the problem. The second part of the what is that the problem is to trust is human. But the problem with our human being is that our judgment sometimes is bad. Sometimes we judge wrongly who to trust. And that's where the problem starts. So I like this quote over here. It says that if you confuse, you lose. If you confuse, you lose. That means if you don't know who to trust, you don't know what to do, you don't know what decision to make, that's how we lose. And I think as children of God, we all don't have to face all these losing and failures in life. Why? Because God has shown us what we can do. God has given us the body of truth. And we know what we should do. So today I hope that as we look into the Word, we all will not be confused. We all know exactly what we should do, how should we respond to God in the area of trusting Him. I want to read the same verse earlier, but now it's in a different translation, because I like what the word brings about, or the focus of it is, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful. That means God wants us to succeed. But if we're confused, then we lose. So how can we succeed? How can we trust God so that we can be successful and have the ability to build wealth, right? So there are three areas. I think that whenever we look at these three areas, we want to check ourselves and say, are we trusting God in this area? Because remember, God wants us to succeed, but we must trust Him in this area so that we are able to accomplish that. So I think the first thing is that we need to trust that God is preparing all of us for success. That is His promise. Even from the times of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, He's always saying, I want to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to the people. So God wants us to succeed. Except the things of this world, the nature, the sins, the fallen state of this world is always pulling us towards failure. Right? Because we don't trust Him enough. And one of the areas why we don't get success is because we struggle with God when He's preparing us. Right? In verse 16, it says, no, this is the Lord who fed you in the wilderness with manna and your fathers, you know, that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you and to do you good in the end. Now, take note, this is a letter from Moses to the children of Israel as they were preparing to enter the promised land. So for 40 years, they've been living in a style where there's no buildings, there's no provision of food, where they don't have to work for food and so on. And now all of a sudden, they're going to go into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. So are you prepared for this? And that's what God says, I want to prepare you for this so that you don't get caught up there and get actually be in a bondage with all the a new lifestyle. So basically, God wants us to be ready for these blessings and for the wealth that He's going to prepare for us. I think this is a simple fact of life, you know. Before anything else, this is Alexander Graham Bell says, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. This is the law of life as God has designed it. You look around our world around now, whatever it is, a job that's given to you, you have to be prepared before you can get a job. In the area of ministry, look at the Bible, Moses, he was being prepared for 40 years in Midian before he was called, right? What about Joseph? He was prepared for 20 years. Daniel, Paul. And the bigger things that God wants for us, the longer the preparation is. So the question is that when we are going through this training and preparation, what is our attitude? Do we complain? Remember, the test of trust is, do we question and complain? If we question and complain, that means we lack the trust. So when we are going through a period of training and preparation, are we questioning? Are we complaining? Then that's a sign that we're in trust and we need to shift. Now, look, all of us, we are human. There will be times when we complain, right? That is not a sin. But the sin is that we continue to. And that's how we get ourselves, steer away from God's plan. So I think what we have to do is that we must be aware. We must be aware and say, oh, I'm acting this way. And that's how we change our attitude. That's why we come here, we go to life group and so on, so that we get reminded, right? Human beings, we so easily get trapped into this mode of complaining and so on. So when you look at the world around us, even in the physical world, we realize that we all need to be prepared before we are given a task, before we're given a bigger responsibility. Actually, that's the most basic law of life, you know. You see, all of us, we want success. Do you realize that success is just the fruits? The fruits, that is the outcome of what we do. We can only control what we do, but we cannot control the fruits. You look at the farmer. We all want a big rambutan, we want a big durian and so on. But do you realize that you have zero control over the fruit? So if we sit and always whine about how come the neighbor has got better fruits than me, how come this person is more successful than me, then we focus on the wrong things. Because what should we focus on? What are they doing? How are they being prepared? As a farmer, your focus should be, how do I till the land? How do I make sure that the environment is right for my tree to bear fruit? So apply the same thing with our lives. What fruits are we looking for in our lives? We want to be wealthy. We want to be respected. We want to be happy, right? We want to be healthy. Do you know all these are the fruits? You have zero control over it. You have to ask yourself, what must I do to prepare myself to be respected? What must I do for me to become healthy? What must I do for me to become happy? So the focus is in the preparation. Preparation is like our action. What do we do? That's why you look in the book here. It says that this is what God is doing for the people of Israel. Because of their disobedience, because of their disbelief. That's why God has to put them through a journey for 40 years and reveal himself to them and said, hey, I'm the God who provides for you. I'm the God who protects you. Look here. Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there's no water. Who brought you water out from a flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble and test you to do you good. Right? To do you good. So preparation is to prepare us, is to shape us. But we don't like that. Because sometimes preparation involves a bit of a pain, you know, right? Even, you know, of course, April is a fitness trainer, right? She's very fit, unlike me, because she does all the training. So I just try to get some of the fruit. You see, it doesn't work, right? I try to get the fruit, but no, I have to go and do it. So she tells me the reason why our muscles grow is that you must stretch it until it breaks. Until it breaks. And then you rest and then repair. You know? So sometimes we want to go through life. We want all the successes. We want all the fruits and so on. But we're not willing, right, to go through the preparation, which involves a bit of a pain. And the interesting thing here is that, remember we talk about trust is about competence and our character. And God is much, much more interested in building our character. That's why it's always an issue of our attitude, our hearts and so on. And can you see over here, God is putting the people of Israel through 40 years to show them that I'm your God. I protect you. I provide everything for you. Can you not trust me? That is a preparation. And what is the end goal in all of this? Beware. All of this, right? See, verse 15 and 16 say, I led you through, I protected you, I show you who, you know, I am your God. I love that song, I am your God. Just the words that I'm your God, we can immediately have that peace and trust. If we trust him and say, hey, If God is in control, why do I worry about all the dangers that's around me? If God is in control, why do I worry about the uncertainty of the future? If we truly trust God, if we believe that He has the best interest for us, and God has for each and every one of us. And the culmination to all of this, verse 15 to 16 leads to verse 17, is that beware. All of this testing is so that you do not say in your heart. It is a heart issue, my friends. It is a heart issue. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. So this is a danger that we all think we are the self-made man. And of course, all of us are guilty of that. Oh, wow, Casey can do this so well. Wow, Kathy, you can cook so well, you know, right? Oh, Manny, you can, you know, you can greet people. All of us, we all have all this ability to be able to bless people. And the danger is that, you know, this is because of me. Oh, especially when people around you tell you that, isn't it? Wow, you're amazing. Thank you, right? So be careful. Now, I don't deny that, yes, we all have our natural ability and talent. But don't forget, who gave us that? Who gave us that? I know sometimes it's overly simplistic to think. No, Casey, I work hard, you know. I went for all this training. Yeah. But who gives you life? The moment God takes your time out, that's it. It doesn't matter what training you have, what brains you have. Elon Musk, you know, of course, he's the most innovative person today. Everyone is looking at him and so on. But is his life guaranteed? I mean, of course, I'm not wishing for anything to happen to him, right? But life is so uncertain, right? How long do we live? All this is in our power. See, sometimes we all get seduced in the fact that we are in control of so many things, right? So that's why this word called self-made man. Really? See, the guy who chiseled himself, right? Have you ever seen the statue chiseling himself? Huh? Where did he get the stone, right? Self-made man. Where did he get a hammer, the tools? If you're a self-made man, who gave you the tools? See, this is a problem. You know, a lot of studies on this, even again, the secular world, right? The business community even says that this is one of my popular favorite authors, right? He writes a lot about leadership, about business strategy. And he says, you know, we have the kind of self-made man myth. It's a myth. Even for the people who are in the secular world, in the business world, who are so used to all these stories of success and so on, which says that super successful people did it themselves. No. You know? Actually, we need a lot of people around to help us. We need a lot of circumstances have to fall in place. I remember Jack Ma says this, right? Of course, Jack Ma is very successful. Everyone is listening to him, right? But whenever you are rich and famous, everything you did is always a lesson. Oh, I applied 10 times for KFC, nobody hired me. Wow, self-made man. What's the lesson behind that? How come someone who's not successful failed 10 times at a job interview, nobody goes to him and say, wow, self-made man. What is this? Right? So there are a lot of things out of our control. And that's a danger, right? And this is why it's mentioned over here that we must be careful. We must be careful that whenever we have this wealth and so on, or whenever the success, the dangers that we might think, wow, I did it on my own, man. It is actually God. God prepared us. So in the same way, we ask ourselves today, whatever part of a journey in your walk today, some of us are struggling with health, some of us are struggling with job, students who are in school and so on, you're struggling with your exams and so on, ask yourself, what is the symptom that we must avoid? Complain, whine, question God. So what we want to do is go back to the Word of God and say, God, what are you preparing me to do? What's your plan for me? How can I go and find that confidence in you? And where is that? In His Word. We go back to His Word, His promises. That is a good antidote to that lack of trust. And Hebrews 12:11 says, from the moment all discipline seems painful. See, part of the training is pruning. We have to be pruned. And most of the pruning deals with our attitude. I remember many years ago, as I said, I come from really humble beginnings, lack confidence and so on, from a small town. And yet, I got a chance to go and work in Thailand for 10 years, in the Philippines with a huge, big Japanese company. And I still remember, I became a Christian in Kuching, And I still remember to this day, there was one moment where I think God was preparing me. In my company, I found out somebody, one of the computer manager, was doing something very, very fishy with a computer shop outside, which I know. So I'll tell you, I was so like indignant. I was so whining, complaining and so on, until I read a book and where God says, hey, you know, if you are there judging people and so on, what makes you different from other Christian, other secular people in the world? That really opened my eyes. And looking back, I realized that if I had not gone through that, I won't be able to work well with the Japanese in Bangkok. Because in the company in Bangkok, they have a lot of retired people from Japan where they place in there, but they've got no qualification. They can't even speak English and so on. And I would have been whining and complaining and so on. So a lot of this, when we are going through that pruning, it's difficult, it's hard. And that's what it says over here. But what's important here is that when we talk about discipline, the Lord disciplines us because He wants us to grow. He wants us to succeed and so on. So that's the first thing, right? Ask yourself today, are you going to a period of being disciplined? Being disciplined means things that is happening to us that we're not happy about because we don't understand the big picture. If you bring up a child, most of us are parents here, bring up a child, there are things that you have to do to prepare the child for the future. Vaccination, right? You go to hospital and so on. You can explain all you want to the child. Oh, the moment the vaccine gets inside your body, Anna, you know, right? The chemicals will build up all these antibodies and so on. It doesn't matter what you say. The moment the jab goes in, and so on. They will never understand. So a lot of times, when we go through these difficult seasons of pruning and so on, we must go back to the Word of God. We must ask God and say, hey, God, remember the character. Even if we don't understand the things happening to us, we know we can trust God, that He's not a God who wants to harm us. He's not a God who wants to go back against His promises and so on. He's a God that cares for us. So that's the first thing. We all are being prepared. We all are being trained. If you want the fruits, you must go through the journey of the process. We must focus on the process, not just the end result. The second one is that once your heart is ready, this is it. You know, we are looking for the fruits, but actually we just have to prepare ourselves and then God is there to provide for us. There's a saying that says that whenever the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. That's so true. I mean, in my life, I've lived longer than most of you, right? I've seen a lot of things. And I realize that a lot of things that I do today, right? I'm really very thankful to God for giving a lot of opportunities in my retirement as I travel around and talk to all these different leaders. You know, I'm just telling some of these people, I meet a lot of really interesting people, right? You know, MACC and so on. They tell me, okay, I shouldn't be saying this, right? But yeah, I mean, I feel so blessed. And to some extent, I believe that when we are ready, then all these opportunities come. I will never attribute to, oh, I'm so able and so on. I keep telling people that I am just happen to be at the right place at the right time because I have a God, right? So when we are ready, then the opportunities come. You cannot believe it. I'm a project manager for 30 years, right? Engineer by training, and I become a lecturer. I become a lecturer in one of the business schools in the Philippines. Nobody will believe it, right? So I really believe that the first part, preparing ourselves, is so important. Of course, ask God. Ask God. I thank God that through my journey of serving Him and working in the church and so on, that's how I discover God's plan for me, right? So in the same way, that's why the first part of preparation is so important. What is God preparing you for? What is God's plan for you? Ask Him. Seek His word. Because whatever plan He has for you, I tell you, He will provide all that's necessary for you to succeed. I am not kidding you. When I was in Bangkok, at one stage, the leaders in the church says, Casey, I think you should pastor a church. Can you imagine? I'm working for a Japanese company, and these Japanese companies are, you know, they expect you to work until late in the night, and this is in Bangkok. So I come back home like 8, 9 o'clock because of the traffic and so on. And now what, you ask me to lead a church? But let me tell you this. When the church says, and thank goodness I learned from the leaders over there. One lesson that I learned very well is that. That's why we must trust God. What He told me is that, Casey, whenever you find something in the Word of God, don't try to argue with the Word. First of all, agree with the Word. So the other thing that I ever told Pastor here, right, and I told the leaders over here, that whenever the church leader asks us to do something, if it's not against the Word of God, do it. Because we always find excuse, speak up. No, I cannot. You know, teach up. We always have a thousand reasons why we shouldn't be doing it. Right? So when I learned that, when I said, hey, Casey, the pastor says, what? You know, I really felt so inadequate, right? I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't have all those days. We don't have the internet. We don't have all these tools and so on, right? But I tell you, my friends, I am so glad I did it, because the person I am today is largely because of what I learned from working with people in the church. I'm not kidding you, right? And how do I manage all of this? But you know what happened? When I said, yes, I'm going to do it, I want time from the company. I actually asked the company to give me time off. This is unheard of, you know? A Japanese company who, you know, who pays you to work for them in a foreign country, pay for your apartment, your kids' education and so on. And now I go to them and say, hey, you know, I want to take Monday, Wednesday, Friday, half day off, and then Saturday, I want a whole day off. I was so afraid that to talk to them, because to get rejection, I just wrote a memo. I wrote a memo and sent to my boss and hope. And I tell you, for the next few weeks, I'm like worrying, oh God, please, you know, are they going to fire me and so on, right? And then one is, okay, Lee Sang, we want to talk to you. My heart was trembling and so on. Because I told them, I said, I need to be working at this sort of like a community organization. I don't want to say church and so on, which is true. They actually have a NGO a name after the church and so on. So then I said, I need to be at this community by 12 o'clock or whatever and so on. I said, oh, 12 o'clock, you're still in the office, or 12 o'clock at that one? That's all they ask. Okay, done. I tell you, there's no way you can plan for all of this. I'm not kidding you. That's why he says that. But remember, it's the Lord your God who, you know, for it's he who gives you the ability. And I want to say this. Yes, some of us are really good with numbers, business. Some of us are really good with words. Some of us are good with cooking, with visual and so on. All of this that ability God has given you. And again, I want to say it. Sometimes we don't know what this ability are unless we allow God to prepare our life. And the best training ground is in the church. So I've come to realize that I am more passionate about talking to leaders, helping them change the way they think through the church. Through the church. Because when I was in the Philippines, as we were preparing to come back, so my lovely wife asked and said, hey, you always tell these young people, because we mentor all these kids, right? Oh, chase your dream. I said, what about you? I said, oh. I said, what's my dream? You enjoy spending time with us, all these young people. And I said, yeah. And that's how I discovered, you know? So God has the power and ability to provide all of the things that you need, starting with yourself. And then, of course, whatever ability we have is God who would enhance it. I've seen, like Nat, I say, wow, your ability in leading worship is amazing, your voice and so on. And I've seen how over the years, God has really enhanced all these, all the different skills, the drums and so on. God is able to equip us from within. Right? I learned a lot of things through the church. Last week at Georgetown, there was no kahoon, right? So when they're practicing, they say, oh, we need a beat. So I just sit down there and boom. And everyone say, wow, I play the drums. Not because of anything, because for the church. In Bangkok, no people, okay, learn to play the drums. Guitar, yeah. All of this, you know? And who I am today, I tell you, I really give credit to God. And I am so glad. Because what I do today, it is impossible from my own natural ability. I used to be very shy. When I look at a crowd like that, I don't know what to say. Honestly. So people say, wow, you're an extrovert and so on. You talk to all these people. You cannot believe it. And I'm so glad that. So that I will never, there can never be ones that say, oh, Casey, you're such a bonds. No. Never like this. And I really want to thank God for this journey through him. I tell you, if I do not know God, I don't know where I would be. Not in a good place. I can tell you that. And take note, before I become a Christian, I am totally against religion. Because I believe that self-made man. I really believe that. No, all these Christians, you're losers. You don't know what to do with life. That's why you go and believe in God. That, right? I mean, a real pride, you know, right? That's why you look at Paul. So interesting. Such a learned man, such a qualified man. Do you notice what he said? He described himself at first. When he was called to an apostle, Paul, an apostle, he said first. And then later on in his episodes, you see what he said? Paul, a servant. And then later on, he says, Paul, a slave. I mean, that is a sign to show that God, I mean, Paul is someone who's really trust God and understand the plan of God. All of us, we should emulate, you know, what we see in the progression of Paul, that we come to God thinking, yeah, pastor, you know, you're so lucky, man. I'm so expert. I'm a CEO of a company. That's why I come to your church. Now you better take care of me. Yeah, we do that first. And then bit by bit, you come to realize that, wow, God, you are so amazing. And this is the promise of God. I can tell you this, right? You don't have the luxury of living so many years as I have, but please believe that, you know? So God gives us the ability, right, to be able to, you know, produce wealth. The ability is within us. Sometimes it's around us, right? So at all times, yes, we should acknowledge that all of us have some ability, our natural strength. Some of us are really good in businesses and some are good in strategy and so on. Let us embrace that and say, yes, you know, but we must acknowledge that this is from God, right? And I'm thankful. Actually, it's true, you know. You can be the smartest guy in the world. You can be the most talented guy in the world. But without people around you to open doors and opportunity for you, it's meaningless. I do a lot of training and coaching now with a lot of companies around the world. But I always say to my company, you know, I say without you guys building all the connection and so on, I'm nothing. It doesn't matter. Right? So don't be so proud to say, yes, you can always learn, but if we don't have that, you know, opportunity that other people sort of provide for us. So that's why let's boast in the Lord. And I'm always so thankful, right? The danger is this, you know. In the Bible, there's one guy who's really well-known and successful. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And he was known, even a historical text, that he built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And look what it says in Daniel 4:30. And the king answered and said, "Oh, is this not the greatest Babylon which I have built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" And then three verses down, you can see immediately what has been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claw of a bird. Actually, all this is recorded in history. Right? It's not just something that in the biblical one. And this, according to the doctors and so on, this concept is called boanthropy or lycanthropy, where a person believes in the mind that they go on all fours and they eat grass and so on. So let us acknowledge that all of our wealth and ability, it is from God, right? So this is a study on this and it's recorded. And not only this, you know, not only this, God not only empowers our own inner ability. God not only enhances your ability with numbers and your thinking, your ideas, and your working with people and so on. By the way, let me tell you this training. I do a lot of training with all these big companies around the world. Remember about competence and character? Most of the training is always the character. Most of the problem up in a company, no matter how successful they are, there's an issue of they cannot get along with people. Recently, I was called one of the Japanese company that was told, "Oh, Casey, can you coach one of our boss?" I said, what do you need coaching for? "Oh, this guy's a high performer. He delivered results. But the problem is nobody wants to work with him." Can you see? Competence is unquestionable, but it's a character, right? And this is a problem with this world. You can be really good in what you do, but if you don't know how to get along with people, that's a huge problem, right? So remember, competence and character, we need to build both. But what I want to show here is that not only does God prepare you and give you all the ability within you, your strength and ability, but God also orchestrates, God also arranges all the things around you so that you can be successful. See over here, when the Israelites were being freed from Egypt, can you see the people of Israel also done as Moses had told them? They had asked the Egyptians, imagine, you are the slaves. You are the slaves, and you go and ask the master, "Hey, can you give me your gold and silver? And the one on your ring, Festus, please give it to me." Right? You know, silver, gold, jewelry, clothing. Right? And because the Lord has given the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, this master just gave it to them. So sometimes in your preparation, as you are seeking after, you know, what God wants for you, do not be afraid to ask God, not only for your own strength, but for the circumstances. God, bring me the right people, God. God, move in the hearts of these, you know, the suppliers or my peers and so on. Ask. We have the access, right? And can you imagine, earlier I said about self-made men, I tell you, people who are successful in this world, they all acknowledge that no matter how much they do, there's an element of randomness. And the people of the world call it luck. That's why Larry King says that those who have succeeded at anything and don't mention luck are kidding themselves. Because those people are truly honest with themselves. You can be the most innovative guy. You can be the richest guy. Sometimes it's just an element that's completely out of your control. And we as the children of God, we have that good advantage that we can ask God to shape all of this. That's why I say, I don't know about you, man, right? I think the best thing we can do is that really have the God who is our God, like we sing in the song, right? He is our God, and he can take care of the unknown, the randomness. Now, as I said earlier, the most, I think, innovative guy in the world today, everyone talks about him, is Elon Musk. And there was an interview done with him. Imagine he's done so many things that none of us can ever dream about. And he was asked, what is that one superpower that you want? And even him, he says, "What? I want luck." Right? Actually, he needs God. Because he realized that with his success and so on, there are elements out of his control. But you and I know that. We don't know who controls this, but God knows. Right? I don't know how to move the heart of my peers, of my boss and so on, but God knows. So that's not luck. In God's eyes, there's no such thing as luck or accident or randomness. It's on God's plan. And God has a plan for all of us. So go back to the first thing. What is God's plan for you? So that you can be prepared for that. Because once you're ready, the student is ready, then God is going to provide all of the things that you need. Right? So for the Lord is bringing you, can you see? This is promise. We are in a wilderness. You're going to go in the promised land. And can you see one said, this is a good land with brooks of water, fountains, springs. So unheard of in a desert, there's no constant water, right? And then the land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates. Take note, now when they were in Egypt, they only ate onions and garlic and fish. So all of this food are high-value food that people use for trading. So not only God provides for us, God actually upgrades the value, you know, of our wealth around us. And this is what God says. That is why God says, please, you got to prepare your heart, because you're going to go to a land that's abundance. If your heart is not ready, this will eat you up. It will eat you up, right? And can you see over here, without scarcity, and then where stones are iron, and the hills where you can dig copper, wow. That means God is even revealing to them the things that human beings cannot see, hidden in the ground and so on. God is able to help us discover things that other people will not see. That's how amazing God is. That's why I say God's desire is to bless us, is to make us succeed. We just have to cooperate with God. And finally, you see what a sequence. First of all, we must prepare our hearts. We must prepare our attitude. We must prepare that we are able to handle wealth. Because whatever wealth God's going to give us, if we're not careful, the wealth will consume us. And that's why the third part is that first, God is preparing us for success. Number two, God will give us all that we need, the power for us to succeed. And if we want our success to be preserved, we must trust God to know that what he says, that the warning for us. And he says, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you will surely perish. So once we got our success and so on, the key that we must remember and trust is that we must be faithful with God. We must be faithful. We must not get caught up to think that, wow, my hands have made me achieve this. We must not get caught up thinking that, especially people around you, right? That's why we have a problem trusting our leaders, trusting our political leaders. Oh, I heard many stories from MACC, not just about the Barisan, right? But this is the thing. Do we trust them with their intention, right? So here's a warning for all of us. When success comes to us, there's a huge, huge risk for us to be distracted, for us to, refocus our trust and our belief in God. Then we begin to believe in ourselves. That's why during the time of testing, it is hard to trust God, right? When things are uncertain, it's hard to trust God. But there's a time when we're truly being tested, our character. And if you forget, right, go after, that's a problem. Now, remember, and I'm going to close up with this. Can we get the musician to come up? Remember, out of the 2 million of the people in the wilderness, only two Only two of them had a chance to go to the promised land. And one of them is Caleb. So what makes Caleb different? Can you see? But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, attitude, heart, and follows me wholeheartedly. So the word here is that whenever God prepares us to accomplish the success he wants for us, and he provides all that we need, all the tools, ability, circumstances, people. And once we achieve this, we must remain faithful. And it's hard. And that's why we must have this constant fellowship, constant reminder. I think that is the most important thing. That means our walk with the Lord should be a faithful walk. Doesn't matter how rich, how successful. The problem with us is we are always looking at what other people have and desiring for what we don't have instead of being thankful with what God has given us. I think if we are faithful with that, we will never be at risk. Right? We must be reminded. So that's why Caleb is so different and Joshua as well. And hence, they were able to enter in the promised land out of the 2 million over of the people. Right? So not one of them will enter the land except Caleb and Joshua. So yes, we want to have a fruitful life. But I think more important is for us to be faithful. Because when we're faithful, then it will bear fruitfulness. So with that, if we look at this, right? Even Paul says, I do not account for my life. That means it doesn't matter what I've accomplished. It doesn't matter how much I've done, how many churches I've planted and so on. But what I want is that I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace. And next week, we're going to see, we continue the mission, the fourth part of this ability to create wealth. I think it's so simple and it's so connected that when we see that, yes, you know, God has a plan for all of us. Sometimes we don't know that plan. Some of us today, you don't know who God is. Maybe the first thing you have to do is that have that relationship with God so that you know what our Father in heaven has for us. Once we have that, our relationship is that, then we learn to trust that whatever plan he has for us, that he will prepare us to accomplish that. What God, you know, what he has started in us, he will see it to fulfillment. That's a promise in 2 Corinthians. And if we are prepared, the time is right, then he will provide all that we need, all the resources we need. But here is the warning. Once you're successful, please keep your heart soft and gentle and always be open. I think one of the reasons why our political leaders are so easily swayed is because they listen, right, to all these praises of his people, not the truth. So that's why always be part of a church community, in live groups, in the preaching and so on, so that you are reminded from time to time. The third part is remain faithful so that our success can be preserved. Let us close our eyes as we want to pray, right, for God to just reinforce this truth in our lives. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love for us, your provision for us, your blessings in our life. More importantly, Lord, we thank you for the promise that you want each and every one of us in this room here to succeed. So I want to just spend some time to pray. For some of us here this morning, you might be going through a season where you feel there's struggling, that you feel that you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't understand what's happening. You've been praying for God. Things are not clear and so on. I don't know. Maybe is it a time of God preparing us? Is it a time for us to find how we can go back to his word so that our trust will not be shaken? Because remember, unless we are prepared, unless we are fully prepared, we will not be able to see the power of God in our lives. So as all eyes are closed, if you're that, you know, you can raise your hands to God and say, God, help me. Help me to go back to your truth. Help me, Lord, to go and seek your word and know your promise for me, your plan for me. And then give me that strength and give me the heart to be able to trust you through this season of preparation. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you feel inadequate. You feel that there are a lot of lack in your life. You want to be able to do more with your life. You'll be more successful, right? And you feel that you have that gap of your ability. Maybe we can pray. Lord, I want to pray for these ones. They're feeling inadequate. They're feeling there's a gap. They feel that they don't have enough skills and tools. Lord, I just pray that As our God, we can look to you and we ask for you to equip us with that power, to give us the ability, not only give us the ability, but also to be able to orchestrate and arrange all the people around us to be able to help us accomplish that success, that plan for you. And finally, Lord, I want to pray for each one of us that whenever, even now, some of us, we are thanking God for the success, for the blessings that he has given us. I want to pray that we will always be humble. We will always be thankful. And we always keep our faithful walk with you, Lord. That we want to spend time with you each morning to get reminded by your word so that you can check our hearts in case we have been distracted because of our wealth. Lord, we want to be part of a local church community. We want to be able to be open to your word, to be in fellowship, so that we can be checked, we can be kept humble. Why? So that we can preserve the success and wealth that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. And lastly, if you're here today, you don't know about God, you don't know about Jesus, you're not given your heart to Jesus, and you've just somehow felt the Holy Spirit convicting your heart and said, hey, I want to have that relationship with God. I want to have that plan. I want to know my plan for my life. If you don't know Jesus, you've not given your heart to the Lord, and today you feel a prompting, I'd like to raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Those of us who want to accept Jesus today, you don't know Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, provision for all of us, Lord. We commit our lives into your hands. We commit our heart into your hands. We commit our minds so that we can be people who can trust you as you prepare us. We can trust you for your provision for all that we need. And Lord, we can trust you that you will keep us in a straight and narrow path as we continue to be faithful to you in our journey with you, in our ministry, in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.